So go ahead and take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter number 10. Today we're going to look at verses 38 through 42 once again as we continue our series from the story of Mary and Martha, a very rich and very profitable portion of Scripture. There's so much truth to ascertain, so much truth for us to assimilate, so much truth for us to apply from this text. And may the Lord help us to get it done. If you found your place there in Luke chapter 10 and you're physically able, won't you go ahead and stand with me this morning? We'll read verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Everybody ready? The Bible says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" And all God's people said, thank you, and you may be seated. Again, the title of the message, Mary, Martha, and Mothers, Oh My. A little play to the Wizard of Oz. Well, the first thing that we talked about was the meaningful foreword for clarity. Now, although this series is primarily addressed to our mothers, as we saw last week, the principles of this text really apply to every one of us. The meaningful foreword for clarity. Now, the story picks up with Jesus entering into the town of Bethany, where he was invited over into the house of Martha, who also had a sister named Mary and a brother named Lazarus. And once they got into the home, our attention is quickly drawn to the very theme of this scripture. Martha is up, and she's working hard. Her sister Mary is sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach. And in Martha, we see just how busy the life of a mother can be. She's always on call, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. The work of a mother seems to never be done. Then add a job outside of the home and other personal ambitions on top of that, and ladies, things can begin to transform into crisis mode rather quickly, amen? Listen, the problem is, the one area that often gets cut in order to find time for a busy life is the spiritual. And this leaves the Christian mother in a constant state of frustration, as no child of God can be happy and blessed in this world who has forsaken the throne of grace in their life. And so in frustration, Martha asked the Lord to go ahead and get up and speak to Mary and make her help out around the house a little bit. And then Jesus makes a comparison, not a contrast, but a comparison between the choices of Martha and the choices of Mary. Martha's choice of working was good, but Mary's choice of worship was great. And we learned that just doing good will never produce the blessing that we so desperately need. And my friends, you and I, we have to learn how to maintain a balance between the work of the ministry and worship and meditation. That's what this series is all about. Learning how to do one without leaving off the other. And then being constantly reminded, Brother Keith, that sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ is the good part. That must always be our first order of business. Mary, Martha, and mothers, oh my. Well, we've seen the meaningful foreword for clarity. The next place we want to move in this series is the mismatched focus on Christ. Look at verse 38 with me. Now it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. The mismatched focus on Christ. Now, none of us have ever met Mary or Martha, obviously, right? But we're all familiar with the character and the temperament of these two extraordinary women. That's why when we read our text, Brother Brian, we are immediately drawn to it. It's because it's so natural. It's so real to us because we've either seen it in ourselves or we've seen it in others that we know. And though these two women were sisters, their attention was placed on very different things. The focus of Martha's life was not quite the same as the focus of Mary's life. And that caused them to respond in opposing ways when these two sisters were placed in this most unique situation. Now consider, Jesus had already gained a name as being a prophet of God, a great servant of God, and he had gathered quite a following. And now this man who had gained notable notoriety, this Jesus was coming to the house of Martha. And to heighten the anticipation just a little bit more, some were saying that this man was the Christ, the very Messiah of God. I mean, there really is nothing comparable to which we can liken this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. How will these two women respond? What will their focus be when Jesus visits their house? The mismatched focus on Christ. Church, this morning I want us to laser in on the cumbered Martha's focus. Look at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. The cumbered Martha's focus. Five things. Number one, I want you to see the worried worker. Now, no doubt, Martha was very excited. I mean, after all, Jesus was coming to her house. And she wanted everything to be just right. Nothing could be out of place. There had to be a tight ship. Everything had to be spick and span. That is what Martha wanted. She was very busy serving the master, working extremely hard to make sure everything was in tip-top shape for her Lord. She was a worker, and she was worried. Brother Danny, she didn't even have time to think about getting freshened up a little bit. No, the house had to get cleaned, and that food had to get cooked. And again, why is Martha doing all of this? For Jesus. Now, all of these actions are a credit to Martha, and she is to be extolled far above the careless Christian today who thinks Jesus will settle for second best and just accept any old thing. The Bible says to seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, Martha knew that Jesus deserved only the best. And again, in this, she excels the vast bulk of Christians today who only give Jesus what's left over in their life. They give him what's left over of their time. They give him what's left over of their energy, what's left over of their effort, what's left over of their money. There, Jesus, that you can have. Martha had her hand on the plow and she was working hard. But what Martha failed to realize was this. Martha failed to realize that Jesus would have been perfectly satisfied with a simple meal in an ordinary strode house. It didn't have to be so clean that the 5-second rule no longer applied. That meal didn't have to rival that of a Ruth's Chris steakhouse. Friend, Jesus would have been perfectly fine with just a piece of fish and a honeycomb. Martha was striving for excellence, and that is commendable. But she did so to the neglect of sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, and that is condemnable. We've seen the worried worker. Number two, I want you to see the weary worker. Look at verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, did you know we can be too busy for the Lord? I suppose that in every church there are those who are like that. I mean, if there's a position open, they're going to do their best to fill that position. And so they teach Sunday school. They sing in the choir. They're on this committee and that committee. They're heading up this ministry and that ministry. They're involved in the maintenance. They go on visitation. They're helping out here and there, popping up all over the place. And they do a bunch of things. And they do a bunch of things well, but they don't do anything great. And how can they? They are like Martha. They are weary and they are worn out. As we might say it today, they're a jack of all trades, but a master of none. And when the pastor sees this, if he be a wise pastor, he will come along and he will gently discard some of those duties from that believer. And do you know why? Because it is unhealthy for them spiritually. The believer who is cumbered about much serving, like Martha was, listen, will never find the time to develop a closer relationship with Jesus Christ like Mary did. Remember, in verse 42, Jesus said Mary had chosen that good part. We can be too busy for the Lord. Now, you may be shocked to hear a preacher say something like that. But is that not exactly what's happening here in our story? Martha was too busy for the Lord. Now, having said that, are you listening? Preacher did not say that serving God in the local church is a bad thing. God knows we need more workers, amen. Consider a study that was conducted a few years ago, and that study found that roughly 10% of the church's attendance, no matter the size of the church, is actually actively involved in performing the work of that ministry. So whether it's a church of 20 or whether it is a church of 2,000, only 10% are involved in the work of the ministry. So in a church our size, that number would be 5 or 6. Is that study not accurate? Indeed, it is. Listen, it should not be the case that some believers can't seem to develop a closer walk with Jesus because they spend all of their time laboring in the work of the ministry in order to keep the ministry afloat and to keep the doors of the church from shutting permanently. Every church, including this one, every church needs more people who are willing to serve. But that's not enough, because those who are willing to serve, those folks must also be dedicated. They must be committed to that service like Martha was committed to her service. There are ministries in this church that need to be developed. But Are there any workers to attend to it? As the old song says, Lord of harvest, send us laborers. We need more workers like Martha. We're looking at the cumbered Martha's focus. Well, we've seen the worried worker and the weary worker. Number three, I want us to see the wandering worker. When we look at this story, Martha is all over the place. First of all, she runs out there and she meets Jesus. And then she invites Jesus over into her house. Then when we get inside of the house, we find Martha is in this room and in that room, just all over the house, working hard. And what we need to take notice of is this. Jesus never spoke to Martha about her serving. No. Jesus only spoke to Martha about her being focused solely on serving. Serving is not a bad thing. But Martha had allowed serving to become the very center and focal point of her attention and relationship with the Lord. Jesus said Martha was cumbered about much serving. That is, it took all of her time and all of her energy. That, Jesus says, is error, for it is not the good part. See, Martha's focus was on the wrong thing. Martha's focus was on the work of Jesus Christ instead of being on Jesus Christ himself. And before anybody in here sits back and piously begins to think in their heart, how in the world could Martha have the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sitting right in her house teaching them the way of God and she not take any time to sit down and listen to what he has to say? Before we go there, maybe we should take an inventory of ourselves. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Or Vin, did you know that there are people who sit in church every single Sunday and their thoughts are any and everywhere, but I can tell you one place their thoughts are not. Their thoughts are not on what's being said from the Word of God. Is the presence of God not in this place? How then can we be too busy to hear what he has to say? Many folks sit right in the sanctuary of God's house. Some are doing it right now, and their minds are cumbered about many things, and it's not about what's being said from this book. Is that not the same problem Martha had? Don't be the wandering worker. We've seen the worried worker, the weary worker, the wandering worker. Number four, I want you to see the worldly worker. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. The worldly worker. Listen to me, church. We cannot be so focused on the outward that we lose sight of the inward. That's precisely what Martha did. When we find ourselves off balance in this fashion, the manifestations become very apparent. Then we begin to care more about the appearance of the property than we do about the astuteness of the preaching. A desire can begin to grow for a preacher that can wax eloquent, yet might be a little bit shaky in his doctrine, as opposed to a preacher who may butcher some words during the course of his sermon, yet every single word that he says can be confirmed by rock-ribbed amen from the Word of God. But there's more. A church that has not been sitting at the feet of Jesus will have things like a prerequisite that its pastor must have a college degree from seminary. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd much prefer a man of God that has real evidence of the Holy Ghost on his life and working in his message than someone that just has a degree from a Bible college. Because the last time I checked, Scripture never says anything about a degree from seminary giving anybody the power of God. Now listen to what I'm saying. I'm not against going to school. But I am strongly against that spirit that puts no weight or places little value in the time that a man has spent sitting down at the feet of Jesus Christ, yet puts all of his stock in a degree from a seminary. Can I remind you that all of the disciples were ignorant fishermen, but those men sat at the feet of Jesus Christ every day, and my friend, they turned this world upside down for Christ, and it's been that way for the last 2,000 years. Being full of the Holy Ghost, having the Spirit of Christ, sitting at the feet of Jesus, that's what equips a man for ministry. What does it take to do holy work? Church, look to Mary. How foolish then. How unwise for churches to force its ministers into the role of Martha when it is the role of Mary that drops the power of God from heaven down on the man of God. Listen, preaching is good, but prayer is better. Amen. Serving is good, but supplication, that's better. Visiting the folks, that's good, but a vision of faith, church, that's better. So much work is done, but so much is left undone. I mean, when is ever enough work enough? Friend, I don't know about you, but there is no work that will ever be enough unless that work is accompanied by the divine power of heaven. Are you listening? When working is the goal, when labor has become the prize, when those things are the end game as opposed to a means by which our sitting down at the feet of Jesus is translated into some tangible action, then God help us. Why? Because then prayer will be forgotten about. Listen to me, you workers. When's the last time you prayed? I mean really prayed. We'll spend 3, 4, 5 hours laboring in the work of the ministry, and it'll seem like no time's passed at all. Yet we can't seem to find 5 minutes to sit down and pray together. Are we not like Martha? That special meeting is attended, but the prayer closet is empty. The Sunday morning service, that's what's important. But the prayers in Sunday school, the prayers on Wednesday night, that's just not as important. Like Martha, we fall in place for the service of the ministry. And like Martha, we are strangely absent when it comes time to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. The message that is preached, that's the main thing. But the prayers leading up to that message, just mere formalities. It doesn't make a big deal if we miss them. That's kind of the way Martha felt about Mary, wasn't it? Those who are like Martha say, hey, the work is done. We did our duty. Isn't that all that was required? But those who are like Mary ask, was Jesus well pleased with what was done? So continue to work. My brothers and sisters, work on. Continue to work. But if you continue to work without sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, oh, Christian, our work is nothing. Amen. It'll be burnt up as wood, hay, and stubble. God knows I'm not calling for less activity. God forbid that. But what I am calling for is this. is for those of you who are involved in the work and laboring in this ministry to follow the instructions of our text. Wait upon God in prayer. Soak in the Word of God in your prayer closet. And then, my friend, you will find the strength that you need to soar in the ministry that God has you to do. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, the Bible says, "But they that wait on the Lord, but they that wait, but they that wait, but they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." I know you got so much work to do that you can't wait on God in prayer. I know you got so much work to do that you can't take time to memorize Scripture. You got so much work to do that you can't sit alone in the closet and meditate on the Scripture and get to know God one-on-one. And that's why you get burnt out and frustrated and pop off sometimes. Wait on the Lord. Renew your strength. Mount up as wings as eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. That's God's word. What are you going to do with it, Martha? Talking about the worldly worker. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. As a church, when our focus is not sitting at the feet of Jesus, we then begin to care about music that excites the flesh more than we do about music that enriches our faith. Soul-stirring hymns, those will be discarded and replaced with spicy, sensual hogwash. The majority of churches today, right? The focal point is all outward. Feeling comfortable. Well, that's far more important than feeling convicted. Listen, friends, I don't think it really makes a hill of beans worth a difference to the Lord if our building is not as grand as the churches down the road is. I doubt very seriously that the Lord is displeased when we miss a key in our music ministry or we misspeak a word during the Sunday school teaching hour. First and foremost, the Lord looks on our heart. So oftentimes, we project the Lord on ourselves and the way we are, don't we? But that's not how God is. Listen, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Now, having said all that, if we can do a better job with the property and simply won't, yes, indeed, God is very displeased. Likewise, if there's a mishap during the worship service because we did not prepare ourselves beforehand and we just got up and threw something together at the last minute, then the Lord has been dishonored. It's all about the heart. Listen, it's possible for a church to have a very meager building, yet bring God the glory that He truly deserves. Amen. But also, a church can have a miraculous building, yet that church brings shame on the name of God. On the same token, it is possible to worship God in a place that leaves a lot to be desired, and that place brings shame on God because little to no care is taken of it. And it is also true that God can be worshipped in an immaculate sanctuary and He be honored in that place just the way that He should. Amen. What's the key? The key is our focus. A neat and nice facility. My friends, that's gold worthy. But only if we are also aiming at the higher things of Mary, else we suffer loss. Is any of this making sense? Listen, I feel very confident in saying that the Lord would much rather have you spend 1 hour sitting at His feet and getting to know Him than for you to spend 100 hours laboring around the church property in service for Him.
Amen.
When we place our focus on the externals like Martha did, we tend to forget that little is much when God is in it.
Amen.
We feel the work of God when we're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, that it can't be done without this committee or that committee. Brother Doug, I want to tell you, God's not looking for a committee. God's looking for the committed.
Amen.
And a fancy revival meeting is not necessary for God to strike the flint in hearts and set His people ablaze. Listen, when we sit at the feet of Jesus, do you know what we're saying? When we take the time and sit at the feet of Jesus, we are boldly proclaiming, with God, all things are possible.
Amen. That's right, brother.
But when we just serve and leave off sitting at the feet of Jesus, you begin to hear things like this being said one to another in the congregation. We have no resources. How are we going to ever get this ministry going strong again? We got to get out of this community. We got to do something to make a change. I tell you, church, Jesus doesn't need a 3-point sermon, a hearty amen from the pew, 3 services per week, a masterful praise service, or our money. What Jesus needs is some folks who are willing to sit at His feet, receive the word that He says into their heart and life, and then go out those doors and do what His word says.
Amen.
That's what Jesus desires. Then His church will prosper. Then the Christians in that place will blossom. There has to be a proper balance. This morning we're talking about the mismatched focus on Christ. And we have lasered in on the cumbered Martha's focus. And we've seen that the worried worker and the weary worker and the wandering worker, the worldly worker. And we'll close with this. I want you to see the woman worker. Verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, my dear Christian mothers, can I encourage you in closing this morning? Please, please, please make sure that you are allowing and setting aside ample time to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
And for those that may still have children under your care, once you have vacated the role of Martha in your life, and you are now fulfilling the role of Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet, oh, would you take the time to teach that virtue to your children, just like Charlie Colston's mother taught to him. Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, no man is poor that had a godly mother.
Amen.
Thank God for every mother who takes the time to teach their children about the Word of God. Did you know, mother, if you're here today and you got your children with you, that that's exactly what you're doing? Thank God that you are taking the time to teach your children about the Word of God. And thank God for every mother who pays enough attention to the Word of God so that they can then teach it themselves to their children. Because I promise you this, they are watching. Robert Ingersoll, that notorious skeptic back in his heyday, was lecturing, and 2 college students went to go hear him lecture, and after the lecture was over, they were walking back home, and one said to the other, well, I guess he knocked the props out from under Christianity, didn't he? And the other young man looked back and said, you know, I don't think he did. Ingersoll never explained my mother's life. And until he can explain my mother's life, I think I'll stick to my mother's God. If our children see us in the prayer closet, they're going to find a prayer closet in their life. If our children see us devoted to the Word of God, they're going to be devoted to the Word of God. If your children see you put God first, they're much more likely to put God first in their life. If they see you telling other people about Jesus Christ, they're going to tell other people about Jesus Christ. If they see you show up for the neighborhood blitz, they'll show up for the neighborhood blitz and teach their children to show up for the neighborhood blitz. If they see you inviting people to church, they're going to invite people to church. But if your children see that your commitment to the local church is not that strong, they are going to grow up and treat their church the same way. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. That's what God wants us to labor for. Let me leave you with this verse. Jesus said in John 6:27, labor not for that meat which perisheth, but labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. But if our children see us playing God second fiddle to other things in life, guess what? Our children will have a weak and shallow faith. They'll grow up and show no commitment to the things of God. And if for no other reason, moms and dad, if for no other reason, for the children's sake, we need to be cognizant of that. Pray for your children, and then let us do all we can for our children, bringing them and molding them in the things of God while we still can. And mothers, you're the one that has the greatest privilege and influence of molding those children for the things of God in the household. What a responsibility. What a calling. Listen to this poem. It's called A Mother's Influence. The mother said, I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded at my will. I came again when days were past. The form I gave it still bore. And as my fingers pressed it still, I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, but I could change it never more. A mother's influence. When we look at the story of Mary and Martha, we see a mismatched focus on Christ. Martha was cumbered about much serving. And her much serving, which was commendable, was condemnable because she did it all without sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And she blew up in frustration and asked the Lord to get on to her sister and to come help her out a little bit. If you're a worker, if you're a Martha, I pray that this scripture today has hit home in your heart, and that you with humility would receive the truth of the teaching of Jesus Christ and then begin to square things with the proper balance in your life. Sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ is the priority. Jesus said that is the good part. If there's a choice between getting something done or spending some time with the Lord, my friend, the right choice every time is spending time with the Lord. Because when the Lord has our heart, when he has our ambitions and our desires and our aspirations, then he'll have all the work for us to do, and we'll do it with his power every single time, and we'll do it with a glorious spirit that touches and blesses those in the church.
Amen.
Mary, Martha, and mothers. Oh my. The Lord spoke to your heart today. We're going to open up the altar for a time of invitation. I'm going to invite you to come down to this altar today. If you've currently been involved in some type of work for God, or maybe you're not involved in service at all in this church, but you're working in that home and you're getting the physical done, but you've neglected sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, my friend, you don't have to continue to do that. This text is for you. This text is to settle in your heart, and you're to do a 180 and get it fixed today. The Lord is gracious. He's ready to help us if we'll come to him. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father,